Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Fired up to go to, let me get this right, the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. That's R-U-U-D. Going to the Rude Guest Hotline to welcome in Colton Pouncey to the program. Colton covers the Lions for The Athletic. You can follow him at Colton underscore Pouncey, C-O-L-T-O-N underscore P-O-U-N-C-Y. Colt, what up, man? How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
We are doing well. I got to tell you, folks here are really fired up for this matchup. There's a very obvious understanding that Detroit is loaded and, yep, and really good and well-coached. But I think Washington's coming out there to play, too. What's the feeling around the Lions?
Yeah, you know, I think they're ready to get going. This team is rested after having the bye week. You know, I think they really needed it, probably more so than, you know, some of the other teams in the mix for the one seed late in the season, just because of how injured they were. Just having an extra week to kind of heal up, I think, kind of did them a lot of good over there. So I think they're feeling rested and ready to go. But they're not taking this Commanders team lightly. I mean, they know Jaden Daniels is a problem. They know that they're going to come out and, you know, just play hard and try to get a win and steal one from a Detroit team that feels like can go to the Super Bowl. So, yeah, definitely not overlooking anyone over here.
Defensively, they've lost a lot of players but still been able to play at a high level. Do you think that they're completely back as far as they could be, missing all the guys they did?
Yeah, you know, some of their key players, if they are going to return, it might not be until the Super Bowl. You're talking like Aiden Hutchinson, mm-hmm, linebacker Derek Barnes, maybe cornerback Carlton Davis. But even then, it seems like that would be a long shot. So the group they have now just might be the group that they roll with if they, you know, keep running in this postseason like this right now. But, yeah, I mean, the group they have, like getting Alex Anzalone back in the Week 18 finale against the Vikings was huge. He's a team captain, starting linebacker. And really when their defense was struggling with so many guys out, he was the one piece I think they missed the most, just because he's the guy that kind of keeps everyone calm in the middle of the field. And, you know, they're trotting out practice squad guys and guys they signed off the street. And there's a lot of chaos in the middle of the field. So I think having Anzalone back to kind of settle things down in the middle really helped them. I think that's why we saw them hold the Vikings to 9 points in that final game of the season. So I think just having him back in the mix, I think, is going to help them. But they still are missing some key players, obviously. So not the defense they started the year with, for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was talking to some Commanders players in the locker room this week about getting Anzalone back, and they're like, yeah, we got to be very, very cognizant of him. And so specific to the week, so the last time we saw them was week 18 against the Vikings, and the Lions just looked dominant. And it was the first, maybe not the first, but it was a real eye-opener of, yo, this might be the same Sam Darnold after all, right? What do you look at? The last five games of the season, the Lions' defense was getting shredded. You get Anzalone back week 18. They're really good against Minnesota. Are you looking at the totality of the December-January games, or do you think the reality is closer to what we saw against the Vikings?
You know, I'm still trying to gauge that myself because I think obviously getting Anzalone back helped, but I think the game plan against Minnesota was just so good, which is we're just going to bring everything we have at Sam Darnold. We're going to show him different looks with our coverage and kind of had him seeing Gus out there. So, and honestly, Darnold just missed a lot of wide open throws. Like, it wasn't all just like him rattled. I think, you know, there were just some plays that were there to be made. He just didn't make them. A lot of off target throws. So, as much as I credit defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn for kind of doing a good job with that game plan, and obviously having Anzalone back helps, I think the Vikings kind of missed some plays that were there. So I'm still wondering myself, you know, what type of Lions defense we'll get going forward. I do think it'll be maybe closer to what we saw, but I'm not expecting them to only hold the Commanders to 9 points. So maybe somewhere in the middle of what they were giving up, you know, in the 30-point range when all these guys were out versus the 9-point game that we saw against the Vikings. Maybe somewhere in the middle.
I'm sure fans in Detroit don't think there's a chance in hell that Washington can win. But when you hear from the players and the coaches, what are their thoughts?
Oh, I mean, they respect that Commanders team so much. I mean, you talk about Campbell has a lot of respect for Dan Quinn. You know, when Quinn was with the Falcons, Campbell was with the Saints. So those two, you know, faced off as coaching staffs quite a bit. You know, Campbell has a lot of respect for Jaden Daniels, it seems. Just talked about how dangerous he is as a passer, as a runner, and just having to be under cues when you play a guy like that. And also Terry McLaurin, I mean, he's obviously a dangerous threat. The Lions are, you know, missing their top cornerback, Carlton Davis. So they've got a rookie on one side and Amik Robertson, who was their starting nickel, kind of moved out to the outside on the other side. So they're going to have their hands full, and they're definitely not, you know, taking that team lightly. And also I would say there's something dangerous about a team that, I don't want to say playing with house money, but, you know, they've exceeded expectations. And, you know, honestly, if they lose this weekend, like, it's still a great season. So I imagine there's something dangerous about a team that kind of feels like it's already, you know, beat all preseason expectations and now just playing freely. So definitely something to worry about for sure.
For sure. Talking with Colton Pouncey, Lions reporter for The Athletic here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Colton, obviously they got to respect Jaden. Terry can make plays. But the Lions offense is probably the most explosive weapon in this game, the most explosive unit in this game. What's the health on that side of the ball, particularly on that offensive line that's been really good?
Yeah, you know, I would say they're pretty healthy. You know, their right guard, Kevin Zeitler, has missed some time. He got hurt in the Week 18 finale against the Vikings. So we're still not quite sure if he's going to be ready to go. He's missed the last 2 days of practice. I think today will be a big note to see if he can end up playing on Saturday. But if not, you know, they've got some guys ready to go. I imagine they'll probably turn to rookie guard Christian Mahogany or maybe a veteran backup, K.O.D. Iwosika. So they've got some guys ready to go. I would say offensively, though, getting David Montgomery back is probably the biggest thing that we learned just coming out of the bye week because, you know, he, I believe, hurt his MCL against the Bills in Week 15.
That is crazy.
Campbell made it seem like he was going to miss the rest of the season. He was going to get surgery. And all of a sudden, we don't see him go on IR. They're talking about getting a second and a third opinion. Got some good feedback back. And Montgomery made the decision, like, I'm just going to rest and try to rehab it and see if I can make a push to return. And the fact that he's back right now, I think some of us thought, okay, maybe Super Bowl if they get that far. But the fact that he's here for their first playoff game is truly remarkable. That's going to be such an emotional boost to the guys when they see him line up out there on Saturday. So, yeah, I can't really understate his return.
28 touchdowns, over 2,000, or almost 200 yards rushing by David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. But Gibbs has been electrifying. Do they try to force David back in, or do they just easily bring him in? And because Gibbs is on fire.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a luxury having a guy like Gibbs because you don't really have to force Montgomery back if you don't think that he can handle like a regular workload because Gibbs has been playing so well. And, I mean, you know, they drafted him 12th overall for a reason. I think they always felt that he could handle the workload if they needed him to, but I think having the two-back system kind of prolongs both of their careers. I think that's kind of the idea when they got both of them. But Gibbs has been special the last, you know, three games without Montgomery.
Yes.
So maybe, you know, they still give Gibbs the majority of the workload and maybe let Montgomery handle more of the goal line work or short yardage situations. But Montgomery told us he's ready to go. So if he is, I imagine he'll still get a good amount of touches in a game like that while Gibbs takes the lead.
Jared Goff has been dynamic. He's been really, really good. I think the conversation around Jared Goff has changed so dramatically. And I think if you want to say that Goff's like a system quarterback at this point, you're nuts. I just think he's a good quarterback. But he did have that terrible Houston game, 5 picks. The rest of the season, yeah, he had 7 picks in over 16 games. What did Houston do, and how can Washington do it?
Yeah, you know, that was such a weird game. It feels like a blur still having 5 interceptions. One of those came on a Hail Mary. I think 2 of those were kind of miscommunication between Goff and the receiver. So I'll put maybe 3 of those on him. And obviously that's still not a good game, but a little bit more manageable than 5. But, you know, I don't know. I think it was just an off day for them. You know, the targets really weren't on target, and some off-field throws there, I guess. But, you know, I don't really know what Houston did to kind of rattle him, if you want to say that. I guess they were playing without Taylor Decker, so there's some more pressure allowed, and maybe Goff was trying to force things and try to do too much in a game like that. That is when he gets in trouble, when he tries to play some hero ball instead of just letting the offense, you know, come to him, so to speak. But he really turned around the second half and kind of led them to that comeback. So, yeah, I guess it's about maybe getting some pressure in the interior. That worked for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in week two when the Lions lost. If you can get some interior pressure, I think you can maybe rattle him a little bit. But he's been pretty unflappable for the majority of the season. And I think the narrative that he can't handle pressure is probably one that's been fading away when it was there early in his career.
I tend to agree with you, man. This game has the highest total of the weekend. It's the highest playoff total since, I think, 2018 Chiefs-Patriots. Do you think there's any path here that it actually both offenses kind of try to slow this thing down? And for Washington, the best way to slow down Detroit is to limit their offensive possessions, and I kind of feel like Detroit feels the same way.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I imagine Detroit's going to try to run the ball early and often just because, you know, they probably see the 30th rank, you know, run defense and think they can take advantage of it on that side. And that's maybe an area where they could have some success. And you talk about the Commanders, I think you're totally right in terms of limiting offense possessions and trying to limit those scoring chances for Detroit. The way you do that is to keep the ball on the ground, keep the clock moving. The Commanders have done a really good job of that of late. So, in terms of maybe the over-under, like maybe take the under if that's the game plan. I could totally see it playing out that way. I would not be surprised if both teams try to control the clock. And if that happens, I actually think it might end up being a pretty close game in the fourth quarter, and that's not a situation you want to get into if you're the Lions against the Commanders team that tends to pull those out late. So, you know, we'll see, but I could totally see a game script like that happening.
And then, Colton, what is I think that's the ideal scenario for Washington, right?
Yeah.
I'm guessing the ideal scenario for Detroit is get up early, let the crowd go nuts. What are you expecting that building to be like Saturday night?
Yeah, you know, I was able to cover the Lions playoff run last year, and my goodness, it was deafening in there. And you kind of knew that they had that potential. They just hadn't had the playoff opportunity to kind of show it because the team's been so bad. But you know, having Campbell and this crew in here, it's really revitalized the city. You know, this is really a Lions town, and you can tell every time you step foot outside. So they're going to be rocking. Ford Field's going to be, you know, a tough place to play. They do a light show, I think, usually in the third quarter where they turn the lights off and have these, like, glow-up wristbands. They play We Will Rock You. So they do a lot of cool things to kind of get the crowd involved. So I imagine it'll be tough place for a rookie quarterback to play, but at the same time, Jaden Daniels is not playing like a rookie, and Dan Campbell said that himself. So I think he'll be ready for the moment. It's just a matter of, you know, who gets it done in the end.
It's gonna be
rocking.
Yeah, man. I mean, just that Lions offense is so explosive. You think Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn are gone after this year?
I do. I think it's trending that way. I think Glenn could have his pick of a few different jobs, and you know, it seems like Ben Johnson, based on some reports out there, is you know, kind of enamored with the Raiders job, which is something I didn't see coming, but I think the Brady effect is real. I think we're kind of learning that this cycle. And in terms of for Glenn, I think, you know, going back to New Orleans where he was, you know, secondary coach for a long time and played there, that could be a good fit. Maybe the Jets, you know, he worked in their front office for a little bit. Or maybe even the Jaguars job. I think that's a sneaky good job, you know, kind of a weak division over there and some talent on the roster. So I think Glenn will have his pick, and it seems like, you know, Ben's kind of looking at that Raiders job from what I've heard.
As somebody who's in the building every day with them and at the pressers, and I'm sure you have a relationship with both, who do you think's the better head coach?
Ooh, that's a good question. Honestly, I think I would go Aaron Glenn, because if you're looking for a coach who's kind of cut from the same cloth as Dan Campbell, to me, that's Glenn. Those are both two Texas guys, two Texas A&M guys. They've came up under Bill Parcells and coached under him, played for him, things like that. So I think they're both wired the same way in terms of what we need to do to build a roster, you know, build a culture, build a foundation. And even if we don't win early, we're going to stick to our process and we're going to have the buy-in from the players. And that's not to say, you know, Ben Johnson can't be a successful coach, but from what I've covered for 3 years now, I've seen it work here in Detroit. I think Aaron Glenn is a guy that can kind of do that elsewhere, kind of the same way Dan Campbell did it. So, you know, that's kind of what it, where I would go with it.
Going to be fascinating to watch. Kind of feels a little like the last run for this Lions group that they've assembled at least this year. Hey, Colton, thanks so much. Look forward to seeing you Saturday.
Absolutely, yeah. Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Colton Pouncey from The Athletic. Really, really smart. Give him a follow, @Colton_.